Shaila that I've gotten more often than anything else over the past week, I guess because it's a 3-day Yantif coming up and it's somewhat overwhelming to be using the oven, especially when you're cooking milchig meals and there's milchig inflation. So a lot of people just try to remove the headache a little bit by saying one meal is going to be on the husband and let the husband just barbecue. They'll make a barbecue and that way they'll have a meal for Yantif. I've been asked at least a dozen times over the last 2 days if you're allowed to barbecue on Yantif, and if you are allowed to barbecue, what are the rules of barbecuing on Yantif? Now, the issue of barbecuing on Yantif, it's cooking. It's like anything else. The actual cooking of the meat is no different than cooking on a stovetop or in an oven or in anything else. In fact, it's more of the classic type of cooking with less of the concerns of all the modern gadgetry that we find in our ovens. Most barbecue grills don't have a computer built into it. It's just a simple fire with gas or with charcoal, and you're doing a very straightforward act of cooking. Where it gets tricky is putting out the fire when it comes to a barbecue. See, people are somewhat comfortable leaving a fire going in their kitchen maybe over the course of a Yantif, but a lot less so leaving a fire going in their backyard over the course of Yantif, where no one's going to be monitoring the fire. I guess in the kitchen they feel like they would know if something happened, whereas in the backyard maybe they wouldn't know if something happened. It's not, the backyard's not equipped with smoke detectors or whatever else.
More controlled fire too.
The kitchen's more controlled fire.
Yeah.
The grill sometimes. Good. So let's discuss a little bit about barbecuing on Yantif. First of all, just in general, it's important to know that malacha, all 39 malachas are asr to do on Yantif. The Torah says that one is not allowed to do any malacha. Malacha is defined as the same 39 malachas that are asr to do on Shabbos. But the Torah has a very critical exception, and that is whatever is considered ochel nefesh, whatever a person basically needs for his basic physical sustenance, that you're allowed to do. So, if in order to eat you need to cook, you're allowed to cook on Yantif. If in order to eat you need to shecht an animal so you'll have what to cook, you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yantif. So, malachos d'araisa are malachos d'araisa on Yantif also, but there's this giant heter called ochel nefesh. Within the heter of ochel nefesh, there's another concept called mitoch, that once something is mutter for the sake of ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do that malacha even for non-ochel nefesh purposes. But provided the whole heter of ochel nefesh only works, like Maran Ksuvus points out, then and elsewhere also, that it has to be dafka shava l'kol nefesh. It has to be the kind of thing that's universally enjoyed, which is probably why smoking is nisa d'araisa on Yantif nowadays, because it's not something that anyone could argue anymore. It would be shava l'kol nefesh. Something needs to be absolutely shava l'kol nefesh, that everyone would enjoy it. It's universally enjoyed by most people. So therefore, the Gemara says, for example, the Mishnayos say that a person is allowed to heat up water to wash his hands, feet, and face on Yantif, because that was something that was universally done on a regular basis. But the Mishnayos say you can't heat up water to bathe your whole body, because people would only do that once every month, once every 2 months. It wasn't something that was universally done on a regular basis. So what about the malachos of Mavir and Mechabeh, fire-related malachos? So certainly turning on a flame is, or raising a flame, let's say that, raising a flame in order to help you cook food is 100% mutter. That's ochel nefesh. Turning on a flame, yesh me'ayin, to start a new flame, is a separate issue. That's an isser midrabanan, mishum nolad, that you're creating something new, so you're not supposed to make a brand new flame. But if you have a flame already there, you're allowed to raise the flame. Now, if you don't have a flame already there, it's only an isser d'rabbanan to make a flame. Why is that important to know that it's only an isser midrabbanan? We listen to d'rabbanans also, because if your flame went out, for example, and you have a guy who can light a flame for you, so that would qualify as a shvus to shvus b'mako mitzvah, that you're allowed to ask a guy to do something that is only an isser d'rabbanan. So on Yantif, you can ask him to light a flame. On Shabbos, no, because on Shabbos it's an isser d'oraisa. But on Yom Tov, it's an isser d'rabbanan. What about lowering a flame? So in Shulchan Aruch is very strong about the isser to extinguish a flame. By extinguish, we mean either lowering or turning off. It's the same in terms of the malacha of mechabe. It's considered to be kibbutz, it's considered to be extinguishing, whether you're lowering flame or whether you're turning it off. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tavkuf Yudalet Si'if Aleph, Asur Lichbos Leika B'Yom Tov, Afilu Imroa Beso Shenisraf. Even if you see your house is burning down, you may not put out the fire. Im ein shom sakonas nefashos, provided that you live in a house that's surrounded by a moat, and therefore you know there's not going to be any, and the house is empty, and you're just watching from the other side of the moat, you have to let the house burn, because that, there's no sakonas nefashos. But obviously, if there's sakonas nefashos, all bets are off, and most house fires nowadays, Rahman al-Utslan, is a serious concern of sakonas nefashos. But assuming that there would be no concern of sakonas nefashos, you're not allowed to put out a fire on Yom Tov. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and therefore, even in the process of cooking, you have food on the stove, and you want to lower the stove, l'chora, it should be aser. When you read the Shulchan Aruch, it should be aser to lower the flame. So why is it that while we're cooking on Yontif, if you ask whoever does the cooking in your house what they do, they always lower the flame while they're cooking. If they see the flame is too high and they don't want to burn the food, why do they lower the flame? So it goes as follows. The reason that it's us to lower the flame is the assumption is that there's never a need to lower a flame in order to make your food proper, in order to make your food taste good. Why? Because if you need a smaller flame, make a smaller flame. Use the fire that you have and light a smaller flame instead of lowering this one. If you don't want the food to burn, take it off the flame. There would never be any reason to lower the flame. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that that was only in those days when lighting a new flame was a lot easier and was a single act of lighting, whereas lowering a flame may have been multiple acts of kibui. You would have to throw a little bit of ash or of dirt on the fire to lower it a little bit, then a little bit more, a little bit more. So it's certainly preferable to light a smaller flame, which is only one act, rather than lower the large flame, which may involve multiple acts. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein explains. But nowadays, says Rav Moshe, where it's the same flick of the wrist to raise a flame and lower a flame, so whatever helps in the cooking process, if you need a lower flame to help you in the cooking process, you can lower the flame on your gas stove the same way you would raise the flame on your gas stove. So certainly while you're barbecuing, how do you turn on the fire? You can't click the electric igniter, that's for sure. You can't strike a match. That's an Isser Mitzvah Rabbanan of creating a new fire. But if you have a fire somewhere in your house, which most people do over the course of Yontif, a yahrzeit candle or something, you can bring the fire out to your grill, turn on the gas, and light the grill in that way. And therefore, or if you have charcoal, it's even better. And just light the charcoal, light the briquettes, and that's totally fine. And while you're cooking, you can raise and lower the flame as needed while you're actually in the act of cooking. But what do you do when it's all over, when you're finished cooking? Can you turn the flame off? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he doesn't say anything, but we know what he means. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph. In Simen, it's hard to even say that this is a tshuva, in Simen Kuf Chav Ches, he writes as follows. Eini rotza lahashiv biksav bidvar skiras hagaz biyom tov. I'm not going to write to you what I think about shutting a gas stovetop on Yom Tov. If you ask anyone who lived in the Lower East Side the time Rav Moshe was there, they'll tell you what Rav Moshe thought about closing a gas stove on Yantiv. Rav Moshe held you're allowed to turn it off. Rav Moshe held you're allowed to close the gas stove on Yantiv. One second, let me just take questions after. Rav Moshe held you're allowed to turn off a gas stove on Yantiv. Where does that come from? That's a halacha based in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Lamid Dalid Si'if Chavdeiz. Shulchan Aruch tells us that if you have a fire that's lit on Yantiv, Gram kiboy is mutter. You're allowed to extinguish the flame in an indirect way. And therefore, you could set up pitchers of water around the fire. When the fire spreads, it's going to burst the pitchers. Water's going to come out. It's going to extinguish the flame. Gram kiboy is mutter. The Rama says, b'makom pseida. It's only if there's a situation of loss. So for Svardim, even not b'makom pseida. For Ashkenazim, only b'makom pseida. Rav Moshe apparently held, and he never put this in writing, but he apparently held that turning off a gas stove off entirely is not kibui, it's gram kibui. Now, because he never put it in writing, we don't have a really solid explanation of why he held it was gram kibui. Rav Shechter said that years ago, when Rabbi Tendler was a student in Yeshiva University, he published an article in the Beis Yitzchak explaining why he held, where Rabbi Tendler held, that turning off the gas stove is mutter on Yantiv. And at the end of the article he wrote, and I got one of the Gedolei Hador to agree with me. So who was one of the Gedolei Hador that he got to agree with him? So obviously it was Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe didn't want to put in writing that this is what he held. But everyone on the Lower East Side knew that we have Rabbi Tendler to thank for this sheet of Rav Moshe, apparently, that you're allowed to shut off according to Rav Moshe. Now this has not been widely accepted. I think the majority of poskim still assume that you're not allowed to turn off a gas stove. So, but if you're a Rav Moshe Jew, and you hold that you're allowed to turn off a gas stove, would the same apply to your gas tank by your barbecue? So I think it may not be the case. It may not be the same by the gas tank, by the barbecue. There is a halacha. You're not allowed to fill an eggshell with oil and have the oil drip into a lantern on Shabbos. Why? Rashi says it's also because you might take some of the oil out of the eggshell, and that's going to be kibbuy. Why is that kibbuy? The oil's not in the lantern yet. It's in the eggshell that's dripping into the lantern. Why would that be kibbuy? So the Achronim explain that when you set up a self-contained mechanism that feeds fuel to this fire, and it's set up specifically to feed fuel to this fire, removing any fuel from that mechanism would be called kibbuy and not just gram kibbuy. Rav Moshe must have held that when you're dealing with gas that runs through the whole house, a gas line that runs through the whole house, and you're closing a gas line or you're closing one valve that allows gas to go to the stove, you're not shutting off a self-contained fuel source that's specific for this fire. You're shutting off the doorway from the major fuel source that fuels everything in your house to this specific spot. And that, he held, is only gram kibbuy. But by a barbecue, if there are two ways that they could be set up, a gas grill could be set up. Sometimes it's directly connected to the house line, to the house gas line, in which case it would be the same as a stove. But sometimes, most often, it's a self-contained propane tank that you could buy, and you connect it only in the grill. Not so clear that Rav Moshe would hold that you're allowed to turn that off. I just want to get through the issues first, and then we'll take questions.
There's so now, a question on your shita, that you said that according to Rav Moshe, you can raise and lower the gas stove as necessary.
Yes.
You can apply that to a barbecue, because you're not using gas. It's not a gas stove. It's not the same thing.
I'm talking about a gas grill.
Right, but
you are using gas.
If you're using charcoal, then you can.
Oh, if you're using charcoal, then it would be back like the old days. You could raise
right.
it as necessary. Yeah, yeah. By charcoal, you could raise as necessary, and lowering it is not so passionate unless you don't have anywhere else to make a fire. Right, where it would then be lowering it would be your best option. Yeah, I was talking about gas grills. So most people use gas. Now, what about turning the grill off when you're done? So if it's, again, hooked up to the gas line in your house, you have Rav Moshe's heter. If you hold a Rav Moshe's heter, most people don't. If it's a separate tank, then it's one could very much question whether even Rav Moshe would hold this much. So what are our options? What about asking a guy to turn it off? You have a guy around. So nowadays, I think it's, I would say that considering how bad we are at dealing with fires and how often we hear of stovetops being left on and certainly gas in people's homes and fires in people's homes, it's and it is a sakana, it's always a sakana nowadays. I would think in your house for sure you could ask a guy to turn off your stove when you're done. Rav Simcha ben Kohn writes in his Sefer in Hilchos Yom Tov that if your kitchen is too hot, you can ask a guy to turn off your stove. And he writes in a footnote, why? Because it's shvus to shvus. Why does he assume it's only a shvus? It's only an issur rabbanan to turn off the stove. So I think he assumes it's a shvus because it's melach shein svich legufa. I think that's why he's assuming it's a shvus. So he says it's a shvus to shvus b'makom tzorech. So you're allowed to do it. I think it's enough of a tzorech, the concern that people would have to leave it on for the whole yontif. I think is plenty shvus, is plenty of tzorech to allow a shvus to shvus. But what about your barbecue? So l'chora, the best way to do it is if you know that there's going to be a guy around on yontif, tell them before yontif that you're going to want them to turn it off when you're done barbecuing. Why is that the best way to do it? Because we discussed, I think, last week, the different issues of Amir al-Akum. That on the one hand, there's an isser of saying that I want you to do malacha, saying those words on Yantiv. You're not allowed to give those instructions on Yantiv, talk about the malacha on Yantiv. And on the other hand, there's also an isser of getting hana'a from malacha that was done for you on Yantiv. Removing something is not called hana'a. So if they shut off a light, if they shut off a fire, that's not called hana'a. So you don't have to worry about the second issue. What about the first issue that you're not allowed, daber davar, you're not allowed to speak about malacha? What about that issue? Well, that can be solved simply by telling them to do it before Yantif, when you give the instruction before Yantif. If you didn't have a chance to tell them before Yantif, it could also be solved by Remiza Shalom B'derech Tzivoy on Yantif, by giving them a hint on Yantif. So I would think that that would work. Now, obviously, if you have a charcoal grill, then the best thing to do is just let it burn out. Watch it, and it will burn out eventually. Even gas, it may take a long time for the gas to burn out. Maybe you take an emptier tank or a smaller tank. They sell very small tanks. You could probably hook up to your gas grill and do that, and then you can let that burn out. It won't take terribly long if you get a small enough tank for it to burn out, and then you wouldn't have this issue at all. But there are more creative solutions that people have suggested that are somewhat questionable. Someone suggested to me that if maybe you take some paper towel, a good friend of mine has his father got a heter from the rabbi in his town to do the following. He barbecues on Yantif, then he takes a paper towel, a roll of paper towels, and he sticks it in the grill while the food is still on the grill, so the paper towels catch fire. So that's part of the fire. And then, while the food is still on the grill, he shuts off the grill, and the paper towels are still on fire. So what he's essentially doing is he's lowering the flame, because he's shutting off the grill and leaving the paper towels on fire. And so he's lowering the flame while the food's still on, and that's aiding in the cooking process. And then the paper towels go out. It seems like too shticky for me. It seems like too much of a trick. And no one cooks like that. I was not very satisfied with that. But then there's another guy, same guy actually, who's a very good friend of mine, told me, and he happens to be an expert griller. He enters contests and things like that. He knows the exact temperature of the meat and how to cook. And so I don't know anything like this. But he told me that certain meats, the way to cook it properly is not to cook with fire. Did you know this? What do? You make your grill super hot, 1200 degrees. Then you turn it off. Then you put the meat on and cook with the residual heat. And that's the way you're supposed to cook certain types of meat. And he said he does this all the time. That the way to cook is with the residual heat. Now, if you do that, then l'chaora, that's part of the ochel nefesh, is to shut off the grill. That's part of the way that you cook it. That's part of the cooking process. L'chaora would be mutter. So I said, I think you have a good taina for you. Cooking that kind of meat would be mutter. But you got to be careful what you say, because then I got a phone call from someone this week. I heard you said that as long as you leave the meat on for a few minutes after you shut off a grill, it's okay. You can cook that way. No, not if you don't know what you're doing, and that's not helping in your cooking, and that's not the way you would normally cook. I don't think you could do that. So I don't think that's a great solution for everybody. But on the simplest level, again, if you have a small gas tank and you let it run out, the key is that you have to be very careful with everything, with all the cooking in Yantif. Just be very careful to be safe. Whatever you're doing, make sure that any fires are monitored constantly and that you're being very safe. And at the same time, try to stay clear of violating the halacha. Yeah.
If one decides to let it go until the gas runs out, would one be allowed to raise the flame by using more propane to...
If you let it run to... Yeah, you'd be allowed to, yeah.
Thereby causing it to go out faster.
Oh, to raise the flame. Well, you'd be allowed to raise the flame so long as you're still cooking, when there's still food on it. And then you can keep it high and take the food off, and then it would go out faster. Yeah, you could definitely do that. That would be a good eitzah. I just thought of the small tank eitzah now. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I should call back all 12 people and tell them that they should just use a small gas tank. Okay.